Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. In the second half of today's show, Bob Doty will bring us a report on a Nigerian immigrant here in the U.S. who is trying to make his own American dream come true.
But first, we talk about two other immigrant populations in the U.S., people from India and Pakistan. Violence has damaged relations between the two countries since they gained independence from Britain almost 70 years ago.
This history of conflict between the countries can follow Indians and Pakistanis when they come to the United States. The bad feelings from the past can cause resentment or feelings of anger about something unfair. But some are finding that many of their beliefs about the other side are not correct.
Adam Brock tells about a university class that seeks to correct untrue claims about people from the neighboring countries.
This spring, the University of California in Los Angeles offered a class that sought to help Indians and Pakistanis better understand each other. The class was taught in both Hindi and Urdu, the languages of India and Pakistan. The goal of the class was to promote understanding between the two countries. Gyanam Mahajan teaches language and culture classes at the university. She said she expected a separation between the two sides.
It comes with the immigrant families that come out of India or Pakistan, and they come here with the resentment and mistrust with the other community. And when they come here, they come with this baggage. They come with this feeling that Hindi and Urdu are different languages.
Hindi is one of the official languages of India. Urdu is the national language of Pakistan. The two languages use different writing systems, but they are so similar when spoken that people who understand one can understand the other. This surprised many students, including Indian Americans Trisha Patel and Rohan Luhar.
It's surprising to know that, like, you pronounce everything the same way.
I didn't really know what Urdu was before taking this class.
Professor Mahajan says the class may help improve relations between the countries.
As I say in my class, the future of South Asia is actually here in this country.
Trisha Patel and many of her classmates say the class showed them how much the two sides have in common.
The professor does a great job of, like, helping us understand, like, the bridge between the cultures and showing us that there's not many differences, regardless of what it may seem like.
University officials hope the class will help the students become ambassadors of peace. I'm Adam Brock.
I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. You are listening to the VOA Learning English program, As It Is. Welcome back. You just heard about immigrants from India and Pakistan trying to overcome religious and political differences in a language class.
Next, we hear about a man from Nigeria who is trying to make his own immigrant dream come true, bringing his beloved Nigerian food to people in the U.S.
Lukman Afolayan Mashood moved to the United States from Nigeria in 1996. For several years, he worked in a restaurant as a dishwasher and cook. Later, he directed day-to-day operations at the eatery.
About 5 years ago, he and his girlfriend, Natalie Goldberg, opened their own restaurant in Brooklyn, one of New York City's five boroughs. New York City is divided into five administrative areas called boroughs. There are other words in this report that are not in our Learning English vocabulary. For example, if something is distinctive, it is different from others in a way that is easy to notice.
Another word is colonialism. This is when one country controls the land, resources, and people of another area. An angel fund might sound religious, but it is money offered by governments or other organizations to help people starting a business. And in this story, conviction means a strong belief or opinion.
This story talks about a vegetable called okra. It is a tall plant whose pods are eaten as a vegetable and are used in soups and stews. And to advance means to go forward or make progress. And now, Bob Doty brings us this story.
The restaurant sells Nigerian food. It is called buka. That is a word in the Hausa language for a simple eating place on the side of a road that sells good food. Mr. Mashood thinks his business, called Buka New York, is the most popular African restaurant in the city.
There's no food compared to Nigerian food. Anybody can cook goat, anybody can cook beef, but when a Nigerian man cooks beef for you, you will see the difference. We always bring the flavor out of anything we cook, whether it's fish, whether it's beef, whether it's chicken, whatever we cook. It's a very distinctive that colonialism have not been able to change. So I'm very proud to say I present Nigerian food as it should be in New York.
Mr. Mashood says it was not easy to operate a restaurant.
Nobody give you money to start a restaurant. I should tell you, it's not like there's no angel fund for restaurant. So you have to struggle very extra hard. You will never have enough money. So if you want to have a restaurant, you need a heart. I think heart is the most important thing, to the conviction, like, I'm going to have a restaurant.
People eating at the restaurant like the choice of foods.
So it has okra, smoked fish, goat meat, and you eat it with pounded yam.
When I dine here, it's like I'm home. Yeah, that's true.
Mr. Mashood says that when he lived in Nigeria, he was just one of many people around the world who wanted to live in the U.S.
You cannot stop immigration. The best of American is immigration that it has. Because it's only the bright mind in all the corner of the globe that want to come to USA. It's only the people that want to advance. Those are the people that we have go to apply for visa and want to come here. The dream is still very available, it's still alive. And especially for Nigerians, because if you want to come to America and work very hard, you will survive. You will gain the reward of what you've done.
I'm Bob Doty.
I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Now, the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. Have you ever considered all the English expressions that include words about clothes? Let's hear Faith Lapidus name a few off the cuff or without any preparation.
People wear pants to cover the lower part of their bodies. We sometimes say that people who are restless or nervous have ants in their pants. They might also fly by the seat of their pants. They use their natural sense to do something instead of their learned knowledge. Sometimes people may get caught with their pants down. They are found doing something they should not be doing. And in every family, one person takes control. Sometimes a wife tells her husband what to do. Then we say she wears the pants in the family. Pants usually have pockets to hold things. Money that is likely to be spent quickly can burn a hole in your pocket. Sometimes you need a belt to hold up your pants. If you have less money than usual, you may have to tighten your belt. You may have to live on less money and spend your money carefully. But once you have succeeded in budgeting your money, you will have that skill under your belt. I always praise people who can save their money and not spend too much. I really take my hat off to them. Yet, when it comes to my own money, I spend it at the drop of a hat, immediately, without waiting. And sadly, you cannot pull money out of a hat. You cannot get money by inventing or imagining it. Boots are heavy or strong shoes. People who are too big for their boots think they are more important than they really are. I dislike such people. I really do. You can bet your boots on that. Yet, truly important people are hard to replace. Rarely can you fill their shoes or replace them with someone equally effective. My father is an important person. He runs a big company. He wears a suit and tie and a shirt with sleeves that cover his arms. Some people who do not know him well think he is too firm and severe. They think he is a real stuffed shirt. But I know that my father wears his heart on his sleeve. He shows his feelings openly, and he knows how to keep his shirt on. He stays calm and never gets angry or too excited. Also, my father has never lost his shirt in a business deal. He is too smart to lose all or most of his money. This is because my father rolls up his sleeves and prepares to work hard. He often has a special plan or answer to a problem that he can use if he needs it. He is like a person who does magic tricks. We say he has a card up his sleeve.
This VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories, was written by Jill Moss and presented by Faith Lapidus. We leave you with Nancy Sinatra. Yes, that's right, Frank Sinatra's daughter, singing, "These Boots Are Made for Walking." If you find out that a lover has been cheating on you, you can say to them, "These boots are made for walking," as you walk out the door. I'm Ana Mateo.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
I'm Phoebe Zimmerman.
And I'm Steve Ember with the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Today we tell about an unusual man who had many abilities, Richard Buckminster Fuller.
Building designer, engineer, inventor, thinker, poet. Not five people, just one. Richard Buckminster Fuller. Bucky Fuller, as he was known, was one of the most unusual thinkers of the 20th century. His aim in life was to make the human race a success in the universe. Bucky Fuller spent most of his life searching for new ideas. He also searched for unusual connections between existing ideas. He described himself in these words, a complete future-thinking design science explorer. Fuller believed deeply in technology. Through technology, he said, people can do anything they need to do.
R. Buckminster Fuller died in 1983 at the age of 87. During his long life, he discussed his idea about technology and human survival. He called his idea Dymaxion. It came from three words, dynamic, meaning a force, maximum, meaning the most, and ion, which is an atom or group of atoms with an electrical charge. Fuller explained the word Dymaxion as a method of doing more with less. Everything he did was guided by this idea. He designed a Dymaxion car, a Dymaxion house, and a Dymaxion map of the world. But he probably is best known for another invention, the geodesic dome. A geodesic dome is a round building made of many straight-sided pieces. Talking about R. Buckminster Fuller means using strange words. This is because Fuller himself invented words to describe his ideas and designs. His designs were way ahead of his time. They still are.
R. Buckminster Fuller was born in Milton, Massachusetts in 1895. Bucky could not see clearly because his eyes did not point straight ahead. So his world was filled with masses of color without clear shapes. When he was 4 years old, he got eyeglasses to correct the problem. Suddenly, he could see the shapes of people's faces. He could see stars in the sky and leaves on the trees. He never lost his joy at the beauty he discovered in the world. As a child, Bucky Fuller questioned everything. He was a very independent thinker at an early age. His refusal to accept other people's ideas and rules continued as he grew older. One result was that he never completed his university studies. He was expelled 2 times from Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He thought his time was better spent having fun than studying. Yet Bucky Fuller was very serious about learning. He proved this when he joined the American Navy during World War I.
In the Navy, he learned all about navigation, mathematics, mechanics, communications, and electronics engineering. He loved this world of modern technology. Soon after he joined the Navy, he designed new rescue equipment. It helped save the lives of some pilots during training. Fuller's good Navy record won him a short-term appointment to the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. It was there he first developed two ideas that were important for the rest of his life. While studying warships, Fuller realized that they weighed much less than buildings, yet were able to do much more. He decided better designs could also help humans do more using fewer materials.
In 1917, Bucky Fuller married Anne Hewlett. Their daughter, Alexandra, was born about a year later. Bucky was a very emotional man, as well as an intellectual one. He loved his little daughter. She was the wonder of his world. Then Alexandra became very sick. The medicine to cure her had not been invented yet. She died at the age of 4. Bucky Fuller blamed himself, although he had done everything he could to save her. His sorrow overcame him. He began to drink too much alcohol. Yet he continued to work hard. Fuller was head of a company that made a lightweight building material. He was not a successful businessman, however, and the company began to fail. He was dismissed by the owners. It was 1927. His wife had just given birth to another baby girl. They were living in Chicago, Illinois. He had no job and no money. He felt he was a complete failure.
Bucky Fuller walked through the streets of Chicago along Lake Michigan. He stood silently on the shore. He considered killing himself. Then, as he explained later, he realized he did not have the right to kill himself. He said he had felt something inside him that day. He called it the greater intelligence, or God. It told him he belonged to the universe. So Bucky Fuller decided to live, and he would live the way he thought best. He promised to spend his remaining years in search of designs that could make human existence on Earth easier. This began his great creative period.
Fuller's first design was the Dymaxion House. It was not built at the place it would stand. It was built in a factory, then moved. It did not cost much to build, and it did not look like a traditional house in America. Its roof hung from a huge stick in the center. Its walls were made of glass. It contained everything needed for people to live. Power came from the sun. Water was cleaned and reused. Fuller then designed and built the Dymaxion car. It looked a little like the body of an airplane. It had 3 wheels instead of 4. It could go as fast as 180 kilometers an hour. It carried up to 12 passengers. Several companies were interested in building and selling Fuller's house and car, but his designs were so different, so extreme, that banks were not willing to lend the money for the projects. So the Dymaxion house, which could have provided low-cost housing for everyone, was never built. And the Dymaxion car, which could have provided safe, pollution-free transportation using little gasoline, was never produced.
Bucky Fuller did not give up his idea of doing more with less. He had an idea for another building design. It would provide the most strength with the least amount of material. He began looking for the perfect shape. Fuller found it in nature. It appeared in the shapes of organic compounds and metals. The main part of his design is a four-sided pyramid. To create a building, many pyramids are connected to each other. The connecting piece has eight sides. Together, these two shapes create a very strong, lightweight, rounded structure. The structure can be covered with any kind of material, and it can stand without any supports inside. Fuller named this structure the geodesic dome. It covers more space with less material than any other building ever designed.
After a number of experimental geodesic domes were built, industry began to understand the value of the design. Today, there are about 100,000 different large and small geodesic domes in use around the world. However, no one yet has acted on one of Fuller's ideas for the geodesic dome. There are no limits to the size of a geodesic dome, so Fuller proposed using them over cities or over areas that had severe weather. A geodesic dome that size would make it possible to have complete control over the environment inside it.
Most of Bucky Fuller's inventions did not earn him much money. A lot of what he did earn, he spent traveling around the world. He told anyone who would listen about his ideas for human life on this planet. He called the planet Spaceship Earth. Humans, he said, are astronauts on Spaceship Earth. They are traveling 100,000 kilometers an hour around the sun. He said the Earth is like a large mechanical device that will survive only if people living on it know how to operate it correctly. People must live on Earth just as astronauts live in a spaceship. They must use their supplies wisely and reuse them. Buckminster Fuller said humans are able, through planning and wise use of natural supplies, to feed and house themselves forever.
This VOA Special English Program, People in America, was written by Marilyn Rice Cristiano. It was produced by Lawan Davis. Our engineer was Suleiman Tarawali. I'm Phoebe Zimmerman.
And I'm Steve Ember. Join us again next week for another People in America program on The Voice of America.